From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Some Ketchikan businesses have shut their doors and community events have been canceled after emergency officials raised the community's pandemic risk level to its highest level. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the rise in COVID-19 infections is disrupting everyday life.
You have to have the excitement in your voice.
Schoenbar Middle School students are standing with Dean of Students Kelly Smith in the gym, trying to get to the bottom of just how many times Ozzy Osbourne laughs in the beginning of his hit song, Crazy Train. They're coaching Smith for his role in the Schoenbar Band's end-of-year concert. Music director Jamie Carlson, who leads the Schoenbar Band and choir, says she's been eagerly anticipating the event.
I've been really looking forward to this opportunity for months since we started planning it, because for many of my students, this was going to be the first time they get to perform for a real audience.
Was is the key word there. Because of a spike in COVID-19 cases in the Ketchikan area, the concert, like so many other things, had to go virtual. Carlson says that when she heard the local pandemic risk level was rising, leading school officials to cancel many in-person events, it was tough news.
Oh, man, tears. Literally. I had a few crying spats at home. Don't tell the kids that. I'm trying to be strong. It was a big, big bummer.
She says performing in front of a video camera just doesn't compare to a room full of people.
Some of them have not had that experience, which I think is so important for the performing arts, to get to feel that energy from a live audience. And it's just been a different year for that.
With the rise in COVID-19 cases in Ketchikan, the band concert isn't the only event going virtual. The annual Totem to Totem Half Marathon quickly pivoted from an in-person race to a virtual time trial, where runners run at their convenience and report their times. Dancers at Ketchikan Theater Ballet recently streamed their recital online from an empty high school auditorium. And Ketchikan's hospital is tightening restrictions on visitors, says Jennifer Kalenko, the rehab services manager for Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center.
At this moment in time, we are restricting all visitors in the emergency department, urgent care, and the hospital. There are some exceptions. One designated visitor may be allowed for labor and delivery, pediatric, cognitively impaired or disabled, and end-of-life patients.
She says the restrictions are aimed at making sure patients are able to seek medical care without putting themselves at risk of catching COVID-19. She says hospital staff are happy to help patients and families set up video chats, but Kalenko says some things just don't translate.
You know, if you're going in for an ultrasound and you have a new baby and you want to share that with your spouse, that would be a change. That kind of thing is really hard. You can't really replace that with technology.
Hospital officials say Ketchikan's daily case rate would have to fall by at least half before the policy is liberalized. Kalenko says the best way to make that happen is to follow health officials' advice.
You know, we've been dealing with this since last year, and I think it can be hard sometimes to not become complacent with some of these recommendations. You know, we just need to hang in there.
That means masking up in public places, keeping distance, avoiding crowds, and washing hands.
And then, of course, last but certainly not least, and very importantly, to consider vaccination. And I think in order to see these things change, we really need to do a combination of all of these things.
Back at the middle school, 7th grade trombonist Amook Bullock says he's a little disappointed that his friends and family can't cheer him on in an auditorium.
But then again, it could have been like, oh, well, this person gets COVID. Well, that sucks because we just had a concert. So it could have been from that.
Plus, Bullock says he's glad his out-of-town relatives can watch him play Crazy Train online.
All aboard!
And he and the rest of the band can count themselves lucky that they got to perform at all. The middle school's choir concert, which was just a few days away, is now on hold after another new case of COVID-19 was discovered in the middle school. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Across Alaska, internet users are being offered $75 per month discounts as pandemic relief. The subsidy on internet service is available for low-income households or those who lost money in the pandemic. KUAC's Robin reports.
It's called the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program, but it's not just broadband. Ed Barthalme of the Federal Communications Commission says the program throws the net wide.
There's a variety of service types that are included in the program. There's fixed wireless, there's wired for homes that have wired connectivity as an option. There's mobile, which is sort of more akin to cell phone service options.
It's a consumer discount off monthly service charges. A household is eligible if someone qualifies for the Lifeline program, receives assistance such as free and reduced price school lunches or a Pell Grant, or experienced a substantial loss of income due to the pandemic. Eligibility is defined on the website for the program, getemergencybroadband.org. There are also special terms for tribal residents. The program is set up to give eligible households a $50 a month discount, but most Alaskans could get $75.
I think that that's one important thing for Alaska listeners to know is the benefit is up to $75 a month for those households as opposed to the $50 a month discount.
The money came out of the huge Consolidated Appropriations Act passed by Congress in December. One aspect was focused on how much families relied on internet connectivity while they were staying apart from others to prevent from spreading disease. Barthalme says it took a while to stand up the program, but for his agency, it was record time.
You know, Congress instructed the FCC to standing up a completely new program that's critically important, critically timely to the current environment and the current situation, but making it live and real, right, where people can actually start to collect benefits from it.
It won't pay fees that are already owed, but the discounts start this week. This pandemic-related program will continue until the $3.2 billion in federal funding runs out, or 6 months after the Department of Health and Human Services declares an end to the pandemic. The FCC website shows all the Alaska providers who are participating, the larger ones like GCI, Alaska Communications, and MTA, but also Cordova, Copper Valley, Ketchikan, and Cricket, 26 in the state. It shows that three providers in Alaska are giving discounts on devices as part of the program. Barthalme says there are consumer protections built into the emergency broadband benefit.
So one of the big things that we wanted to prevent and make sure didn't happen was that people who needed this sort of assistance weren't stuck with sort of an episode of bill shock when the money runs out.
Customers can sign up by contacting an internet service provider, enroll online at getemergencybroadband.org, or mail in an application. If you're listening to the story on the radio and don't have internet service yet, you can call 833-511-0311. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
In other news, Guardian Flight has settled a wrongful death lawsuit over a 2019 air ambulance crash in Southeast Alaska that killed three people. Dylan Listberger of Juneau sued the Utah-based medevac company over the death of his 30-year-old fiancée, Stacy Ray Morse, a flight nurse who was 27 weeks pregnant at the time, according to the lawsuit. The twin-engine King Air turboprop was en route to the village of Cake to pick up a patient the evening of January 29, 2019, but federal investigators say during its approach it inexplicably veered to the right and dropped more than 2,500 feet in just 14 seconds. It hit the water at high speed, destroying the aircraft. The bodies of the three crew members were never found, and investigators never established a cause for the crash. The original lawsuit sought more than $100,000 for gross negligence against the company, but court filings on Wednesday indicate that both parties have now settled for an undisclosed sum. Neither party would comment on the amount, saying the terms of the agreement are confidential. And former Republican Governor Sean Parnell will be the new leader of the University of Alaska Anchorage, the state's largest public university. Interim University of Alaska President Pat Pitney announced today that she had picked Parnell as the next UAA chancellor. Parnell beat out Pearl Brower, the former president of Ilisakvik College, along with Anchorage School District Superintendent Dina Bishop and five other finalists for the job. In a letter to the UAA community, Pitney said that she chose Parnell because of, quote, his passion for our mission, his deep commitment to Alaska, and his desire for all Alaskans to have access to higher education, end quote. For more on this story, go to kto.org. This is KTOO News.